This is an LA Times Studios podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Livin' Well. We've got an amazing beauty founder here today. It is Sheena Zadeh of Kosas Beauty. It's a brand you know, you love, and maybe you're even using right now. Welcome to Livin' Well, Sheena.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy you're here, and our children went to preschool together, so I low-key stalked you in the parking lot at drop-off. I'd be like, she's so cute. She's so chic. What does she do? Really?
That was like, long time ago.
I know. It wasn't.
I think we should say it was like 10 years ago.
Yeah. 10 years ago. Okay. Solid. Well, so we met a little after that, and you were building Kosas out of
the garage.
Guest house. The garage. Okay, yeah. Let's call it the garage.
It was a garage.
It was a garage. And it was gorgeous, and I loved it then, and I love it now. It certainly evolved. But tell me about your history with makeup growing up and beauty. You know, what was that like? What made you want to be a beauty founder?
It's such a, like, question that is different for me now because, like, it's 10 years later. I'm different than I was then. I know more about myself than I did 10 years ago when I was, like, really feeling this pull and calling and, like, I guess compulsion. Like, that's probably the best word that I can use to describe it. Like, I was compelled, and I always have been compelled to create beautiful things, to surround myself with beautiful things. Like, that's my purpose on this earth. Mm-hmm. Makeup is one of those things. I've always loved it. I wouldn't be able to explain to you why I was so drawn to it then. I just was. Mm-hmm. Like, I just, like, really loved the texture, the color, what it does, even before I wore makeup, because I was, like, a really young girl, probably 8, 9, 10, when I was, like, deep diving into my mom's makeup. She worked behind the makeup counter at the mall. And therefore, she came home with a ton of makeup, like an insane amount. In our bathroom, well, in her bathroom, there's, like, the bathroom vanity, and there would be, like, one drawer full of lip liner, one drawer full of lipstick, one drawer full of eyeshadow. And I thought that's how everyone's bathroom is.
Yeah.
I had no idea that that was, like,
a lot.
Kind of unique. Yeah, it was a lot. Like, I didn't know what a makeup bag was. I was like, what do you mean you have one
makeup bag with vanity?
You have all your makeup. That's what the drawers in the bathroom are for housing your different categories of makeup. So before I wore it, I would just, like, go through it one by one, each pencil, what's the name? What does it smell like? I loved it for reasons that I cannot describe to you right now.
But it's, like, fun, and it's the reason your daughter loves it.
It's like art supplies, you know?
How do
you not feel drawn to that if you are a creative person, I guess? And like I was, and that was my way into something artistic and creative.
Mm-hmm. But like you mentioned, it was 10 years ago, and you were sort of entering the space, and it was very artistic. And clearly the brand has evolved a lot, and the beauty landscape does look a lot different. What do you feel has been sort of the biggest challenge in the last 10 years as the beauty landscape has grown immensely, but also your brand has grown immensely? And what's been sort of like the biggest wind in your sail?
I mean, I think from day one, it was always a challenge. Like to put something out in the world that doesn't exist, like it's inertia. Like there's an immense amount of force that requires to make something come into existence. So from day one, I think I was just so insanely obsessed with doing this that it never felt like anything to me. But I can tell you, like, I was relentless and still continue to be. The wind in my sails is like the biggest thing is, all imagine all those years this brand doesn't exist and I have like this huge vision in my mind, but I'm going like one thing at a time, and it's like, okay, it's four lipsticks, but like, no, it's this huge vision, and trying to describe that to people and explain it to them, and they just have to believe you. Like, that's so hard. But of course there are the people who do believe you, and like, that was always the thing that kept me going, is like the human beings who heard me and saw it, like they could somehow see what was in my mind. Anytime where I've put something out there and I've had an intention behind it and someone's spoken that intention back to me, even though I was not clear, or like it wasn't like I said it that directly, but they picked up on it.
Well, how rewarding. But also, you know, now that the brand is pretty ubiquitous, it's in every Sephora store. Obviously, it has an incredible brand recognition. But then the appetite for beauty is so much more immense now, too, which is great. And the younger and younger we're seeing kids get into beauty, and they probably come up to you or they send you DMs. Like, what are some of the most common questions you get out there about beauty?
I think I get the most questions about, like, just how did you do it? How did you start? And mm-hmm. like, that's such a hard, it's such a hard question to answer, because like, it starts with a fire, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that's kind of like what is being like, what they're looking for when they ask me questions about how did you start? Like, what's the entrepreneurial journey like? Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's the same for anybody, but just, you know, it's a long one and it's a lifelong thing. And then what I get passionate about is, because I have a 12-year-old daughter, mm-hmm. and I'm actually learning a lot from her and her friends, because I think they have these attitudes towards beauty that we didn't have mm-hmm. the benefit of even knowing about when we were growing up. I've spent my entire career trying to like turn those things on their head because they never felt right to me. Like, the entire concept that you need to cover yourself or fix something.
Right.
And that, you know, if you get this, you're going to feel better mm-hmm. has never felt right to me, because I knew that when I didn't feel good, all I wanted to do was like hide under the covers. Mm-hmm. But when I felt good, when mm-hmm. I felt like I was in a good place, like I wanted to like get up, do my hair, do my makeup, and like express myself. Mm-hmm. And that's the story of what the brand is. But the young kids now, they already know that. Like they're coming
so
to
educated.
The table, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're like, this is fun. We like makeup because it's fun. Like, we like makeup because we want to like look cute and express ourselves. And they just have like a very nice way of doing it. Mm-hmm. And I love it. So I feel like I connect with them. It resonates for me the way that they are.
They're a really good sounding board. And they will give you, we were talking about mean tweens.
Yeah.
I have a mean tween. He'll tell me exactly what, he's not always mean, but they're super honest. It's so great. Well, speaking of like, obviously so much tenacity, patience, focus, all of the things that you have experienced on this journey and you are continuing to. But talk about, like, you have this amazing mascara that has come out. And I was just telling you earlier that if I can use a mascara, anyone can use a mascara. I have the wimpiest, saddest, straightest lashes that one got burnt at some point in college when I was doing something I wasn't supposed to.
Well, what?
It's not a lighter involved. It was maybe a little flame, and it was not within the realm of wellness. Let's just say that. But I swear to you, Soul Gazer, your new mascara, is something that I can like use really quickly, and it doesn't take me like an hour on one eye. So, in this crowded space, bringing a product to market, what goes into that? I think people want to know about that too, because the appetite for beauty today is newness, right? Everybody wants something new all the time. So how do you balance bringing your customer newness, but also putting the time, effort, and care into developing something?
It very much depends on the product.
Sure.
And thanks for saying that your lashes are like, so like, that's not unusual, by the way. There's a lot of different types of lashes. And what I learned in this process, and it was actually through a former mascara that we launched that had a lot of technical issues. Mascara is a technical product,
right?
Out of all the things. It's not like, some things are less technical and they're like very much like artistic and color related. Mm-hmm. Some things are a lot easier because like there's just a lot of processes that you're going to do on your skin, for example, to like make something work. But mascara, you can't, it's just pure. It has to work and it has to be tested. Mm-hmm. So with that, it just was a lot of time. It took several years, 5 years create that mascara. And it was because we had to go after all the different types of lashes and all the different, like the myriad of like straight lashes that go down, people that are super smudgers. But to test it on every single other person across the board took forever. It took many, many years. And so imagine, like, we have a formula, you have to test it on 300 different people to get like that whole lash landscape covered. Here are the issues. Now we have to go back and figure out how to solve them, and then do it again and again and again and again. And every single iteration has to be tested on all of those lash types until it gets there.
And am I right in saying that clean mascara is a really hard thing to make?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely, because there's a lot of like shortcuts that you can take with certain polymers. But here's the thing about clean stuff.
Yeah.
It's like food. Like, yes, you can make food using a lot of like lab created things. Mm-hmm. And like there will be this like stability about it and it'll always look the same, but it will never, ever taste as good as like that meal that you had where every ingredient is like perfectly sourced and like itself is like coming from the earth in this way. Like those are unforgettable things. Mm-hmm. And so when clean beauty is good, it's 50 times better than
totally
conventional
agree.
Beauty can ever be. It's better, but it just, you have to like have the right things and pull from the right ingredients to make it that way.
That's so interesting because I remember hearing up like 10 years ago, people were saying, you know, clean beauty companies were saying, well, we're not out with a mascara because that's really difficult to do clean. And so when they finally came out with it, I was like, I wasn't expecting much because they already gave the disclaimer. Like it's really hard, but my favorite mascaras, the ones I think perform the best, are clean.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Soul Gazer is no exception. It is really phenomenal. What was your goal in, like, what was the, does it kind of do everything or is it meant to like not smudge? Is it meant to curl? Is it meant to separate or lengthen or is it everything.
Everything. It's meant to give you really pretty lashes. Mm-hmm. So like sometimes I have a hard time because like I feel like the beauty industry is so like, is it lengthening and separating? Is it volumizing? There's these like certain categories, but then I'm like if I take a step back and I'm like, what's like a really beautiful lash look that I want? Like I want all of my lashes to be coated nicely and look natural and not look clumpy
fanned
and
out.
Look fanned out and look my eyes look wide and open.
Yeah.
Cause that's like kind of the Soul Gazer concept is very much
okay.
about that.
Got it.
So it's that. It's got this like, it defines the lashes. It's, you can build it quite a lot, mm-hmm. which is what I love about it because like you can just do a really natural look mm-hmm. or you can build it a few times and get a bolder look with it too. It holds a curl.
Mm-hmm.
That was really important to me because I'm lazy. I don't always curl my lashes.
Lazy.
Like
yeah.
I just want to press the thing on the thing and have it hold the curl.
Yeah.
And then the biggest thing, of course, that it's good for your lash and is
yeah.
doing something for the lashes.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a very specific peptide in the mascara that is a lash growth peptide. And it is so effective.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So it's helping
it's
actually
so effective.
Like the health of your lashes. It can it
yes
help, it helps them grow
yeah
a
it's
bit?
Like a, it's a lash serum
okay.
it's as effective as a lash serum
oh,
and
wow.
and it's built into the mascara. If I'm putting something on my skin, like I need it to be doing something
sure.
for me at
yeah.
all times, and it's possible to, so like if you can, then why not? It's kind of the same thing about food too, right? It's like I want it to be nourishing me, and with my makeup I want it to be nourishing wherever it's on and looking beautiful, just like I want my food to taste good too. That's so critical.
Speaking of food, I love following your own wellness journey. And when did that become kind of a part of your life that you, have you always been like really healthy and really mindful of everything that goes into your body? Or
yeah.
were you lighting your lashes on fire like me?
Oh my God, it's so funny. No, I wasn't always really mindful. I've always been very connected to my body and movement and like using my body for expression. I think we all are
mm-hmm.
like, cause this is your vehicle. Like
mm-hmm.
you have this one thing and like, this is like the most present you can be.
Mm-hmm.
So like that was always part of my life, but I went through some serious ups and downs with my health, like in my early 20s
mm-hmm.
and in healing my own body, I kind of changed my lifestyle and I became very mindful of a lot of things, not just what I eat, but like why I eat it and like when I do. And I started to look at everything through several different lenses. I learned a lot about Chinese medicine and Ayurveda so that I could understand the energetics of food and like the body and questions that I couldn't get fully completely answered by Western medicine.
Mm.
Although I still look at things through a Western lens too. So like an egg, for example, like the Western lens is like, I'm going to be looking at the macros. Like I care how much protein is in it
mm-hmm.
and like what the nutrients are that are actually like inside of that egg. But then like from a different perspective, from an Eastern perspective, like I'm thinking about like, is this a damp food or is it a dry food? Is it a cold food? Is it a hot food?
Is right.
it, you know?
Yeah.
And I live this way and I've always lived this way. But more recently, I'm ready to start talking about it and sharing that with people because I'm really passionate about it.
Now's the time, girl. Yeah. Everybody wants to hear that stuff.
What I love about these modalities is that it's very much about balance. So like if your body is already cold, then mm-hmm. you definitely don't want to introduce a cold food. If your body is warmer, it's different, but we're always looking for homeostasis. Mm. So like in order to get there though, you have to understand yourself. And you have to know what's going on with your like internal stomach fire. Like, can it tolerate a cold right now? Or you know, what's the weather outside is also relevant to me. Like, those are the things that you start to question, like, and pay attention to, mm-hmm. like, what feels good and right in your own body. And that's, like, I feel like that's very powerful because then you can, every experience is leading you towards balance. Mm-hmm. And I'm very harmony oriented. Like mm-hmm. I'm looking for harmony. I'm always looking for facial harmony. Like that's my approach to beauty too.
That also shows how we're marketed to, right?
Yeah.
Is it lengthening? Is it this? Is it that? Is it curling? And you're like, it's the look. Like it's the end look. It's the result. And that speaks directly to sort of how you think about beauty and wellness overall. So what else are you doing? Like, are you a supplement girly? Are you like, or does that feel overwhelming? Or does it depend on how you feel?
No, I am. I have my supplement. Everything's based on like my body chemistry, though. It's based on like I get extensive blood work and I take supplements specifically for what's going on with me inside my body based on my constitution. We're all built so differently. But yes, I take supplements. I take peptides.
Yeah.
Which I started about 4 years ago, life-changing as well.
Like the injectable ones?
Yes.
And who do you see to like give you those peptides?
I see my doctor, my like general doctor.
Oh.
She's an MD. She's not like a DO or an osteopath or anything. She is an MD, but she has a lean towards longevity and taking care of the machine before. And then obviously if there is something wrong, like we can treat that too, but just in general, keeping everything as
I'm going to need that name. You're going to have to send me the link.
I will send you her. She's here in town.
Okay. So back to skincare and, you know, what other things, obviously you have an incredible product line, but are there other treatments or like what is like a non-negotiable for you?
So I love microneedling.
Yes.
With PRP. I haven't done this salmon DNA microneedling yet. For me, I've been microneedling for 2.5 years now.
Okay.
And I'm really seeing the benefits of it.
It's working.
It's starting to like really make a difference finally.
Do you do PRFM?
This is what I love about getting older because more time has passed. And I think it's just like a slight technical difference on like how the plasma is mm-hmm. extracted or something. I don't know or maybe something's added to the plasma. I'm not sure if my doctor does that or not. And he does not go into that detail.
I'm trying it for the first time.
You are?
In a few months. I'll let you know.
Okay. Let me know.
Yes.
All of it. I think the microneedling alone is so fantastic. I love a clear and brilliant laser. Mm-hmm. I don't like an ablative or anything that I feel like is going to give me like a weird look. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to avoid looking weird as best as I can.
You're
but
never
like,
gonna look weird.
It's easy
but
to.
But I get know? It. And also I think like living here, approaching middle age, by here, I mean Los Angeles and just working in the beauty space. And look, we do a beauty wellness podcast. I mean, it's really easy to be like so in it that, you know, but it's really healthy to have that check in with yourself. Like whether you call it weird or you just don't want to look too, you know, straying too far from whatever it is.
And I literally love a natural face so much. Mm-hmm. And we've forgotten what that looks like. Mm. Like, I'll have to watch an older movie just to see a natural face sometimes. And I'm like, God, that's so pretty. It's so pretty. I love natural skin.
Yeah.
I don't want it to look so, like, flat and crazy. I love natural skin. It's pretty.
It is pretty.
It's beautiful.
And is that kind of, would you say, your philosophy for Kosas? I mean, I know you look for harmony, balance, just really pretty skin.
Yeah, pretty skin, taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
I believe very much in that, taken care of. And the makeup takes care of your skin. And then you dress your skin in this pretty way mm-hmm. that's very comfortable and looks like you. And it's Yeah, it's natural.
But also the part that I, you know, you have skincare, but you have color products, obviously. But what has really stood out to me, which this doesn't stand out to me very often because there's so many out there and there's a lot that are great, your cleansing, like comfort set, what is it called?
The double cleansing set?
Yeah, yes. There's something, there's the word
the comfy cleanse, yeah.
Comfy cleanse. I am not a double cleanser because I'm lazy, straight up. But I did start double cleansing with the comfy set. And I was like, what? Where have I been? Where has this been all my life?
Oh my God. Non-negotiable.
But also, like, there's something going on there that does feel different than other cleansers.
It's
so different. Talk to me about your philosophy on taking it all off.
Oh, it's so critical. Like, this is like, thanks for bringing it up, because non-negotiable, like, that is the basis of my skincare routine, is that the skin has to be clean. And like, I see a lot of young girls, I touch a lot of young skin, and I can tell like they're trying to put things on topically on their skin, but the canvas is not clean at all. And that is like, number one, going to cause other problems. And it's just also like very ineffective. And like the most important thing is the cleanse. Mm. So like whenever I see problem skin, the first thing is you have to double cleanse. It's non-negotiable. It's two steps. Cleansing is two steps, especially because we wear sunscreen and we produce oil. Mm-hmm. You cannot ever cut through that without an oil cleanser. Mm-hmm. But then the oils matter to me, because I don't want to just be putting like baby oil on, you know. The quality of the oil is critical, because that's the thing that's going to actually be like digging into the pore and cleaning it out.
Yeah.
So I care so much about that. And that's why that comfy cleanse feels different. Like that's the oil part of the cleanse. Mm-hmm. It feels different because it's like a very specific blend of oils that are of great quality. This is a two-step process. Some things are a two-step process. I don't like, it's like seriously like two-in-one shampoo and conditioner.
No.
Not a thing.
It's not a thing.
It was
for a while, but it's truly not a thing.
Right. Like we tried it, yeah. Like, you know, but found out that that's not a thing. It's a two-step. You shampoo, then you condition.
Right.
You wash your clothes,
no,
and then you put them in
here.
The dryer afterwards. Like it's a two-step process.
You chew and then you swallow.
Exactly.
That's eating.
You have to actually break this down, mm-hmm. and then you have to cleanse the skin after that.
That makes
sense.
And
with all of that, and I use a hot towel every single day too.
Okay, so double cleanse is non-negotiable. It's a must. Your comfy cleanse, like tell me about what these oils are that were so important to you to include.
They are botanical oils, and they're like a certain blend of them where there's a lot of balance in the botanical oil structure itself. And so it creates that cushiony, comfortable feel. When it's a single oil, you can like really tell it like kind of lacks depth. So mm-hmm. it's the mix and the combination of these oils that really works together. But also, it's the emulsifying system inside the oil that lets it rinse off of your skin.
Mm.
So that is like, for that to work, there has to be an immense harmony mm-hmm. between which oil is picked and which one is going to be the thing in there that lets it milk off of your skin.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like, that is perfectly calibrated in this. Like I will use the oil cleanser only mm-hmm. in the morning. That's when I do like a deep, deep cleanse. My skin's already clean. I'm not wearing makeup.
Sure.
So I'll do like a very sort of long oil cleanse, like 3 to 4 minutes where uh-huh. I'm just like really working into my skin. And then I could just splash water, rinse it off, and it comes off. You don't have to do the second step in the morning. Like it's not that the second step is not there to because the first one's too oily.
Right.
That is there because when you are wearing makeup, that first step is going to really cut through the makeup. And then the second one.
Mm-hmm.
So the second cleanse, the gel cleanse, mm-hmm. what's so critical about that is that it is keeping the skin not stripped.
Mm.
So that is so hard to do. And that's that like the comfy, when you like squirt it into your hand, I'm mm-hmm. sure you've seen it mm-hmm. has like a certain texture.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to describe. It's definitely not a gel.
It's not. It's a little thinner than a gel, but it's not like runny.
It's not runny. And yeah, and exactly. It's not runny. It's thinner than a gel, but it's like kind of cloudy, like it's almost squishy.
Yeah,
it's like squishy. In a weird way. It's very hard to describe. I don't even know why I'm trying right now. I spent months trying to figure out
to
how
know
to describe.
Is it works. It does work.
It's comfy, but why it works is it gets your skin extremely clean, but it doesn't
without
stripping it. It protects the barrier of the skin.
Is there an ingredient that like is the key in holding that balance, or is it just a harmony of a bunch of things?
It's the way that the whole thing is constructed
mm-hmm.
that it is able to do that. There are some ingredients in there, though, that are really incredible, like beta-glucan. There's some ingredients that sound so boring, but like they're just so effective, like beta-glucan, ceramides. Mm-hmm. Like those are in both of those. So they're both for barrier protection. So they're keeping the skin hydrated, moisturized, which like imagine trying to wash your face and then splash water on it and have it like be bouncy still.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to achieve. That's why it's called plump and juicy. Because that's like, plump. That's the look I'm always going for.
It is plump and juicy. And just think about like, I don't know if you were subject to this, but growing up when we were our kids' age, it was all about just like stripping and like the tighter you feel and drier and like cold when you wash your face, like back in like the 90s.
Remember?
Was like the better thing. I'm like, how's that better?
No, that's why I had so much acne through that experience because it was all about stripping away your skin. So your skin can function. It is like a functional organ. It does good things for itself. But when it's been so disturbed and so stripped,
it's disrupted. That's why people always think like less oil, less acne. But you really need oil to keep the balance of the skin going.
Totally. Oil is critical. It just has to be the right oil. People are so scared of oil. We came from the oil-free generation. Mm-hmm. We came from salicylic acid and benzoyl peroxide. Remember, it was like, so if you burn the top layer of your skin, that should be fine. But the acne isn't coming always just from oil. It is actually like, it's like injuries to the skin. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Skin that's acne prone. Think about it. If you like wax it, you're doing something that like is injuring the skin. Irritating. Immediately it breaks out. Yeah, it's through the irritation that the breakouts happen. So we're like trying to keep it calm, soothed, calming, soothing. A lot of the ingredients in the double cleanse are purely for the purpose of calming and soothing too.
And keeping it plump and juicy.
That's how you get plump and juicy skin. Calm, soothed, plump.
What's next for Kosas?
You know, what's crazy is I feel like we've barely started. Like if you think about it, we have Revealer concealer.
Mm-hmm. Favorite.
Right? We have like one medium coverage concealer, and that's like our main sort of like complexion product. We have now the color correctors, which I hope you've tried. Have you ever tried one? Revealer Extra Bright. Amazing. You're going to love it.
Will that help my under eye situation?
Yes. Okay. Immediately.
Okay.
It's beautiful. So we have that. Like we haven't really like done a lot. If you like, there's not a ton of product there. There's so many more things
that you see the little gaps that you're like, oh, we need that. We want that. We want that.
There's a ton.
The shelf looks really robust to me at a Sephora, but sure.
Yeah. Well, it's like spread out right now. Yeah. It can come together.
So you want to explore more in the complexion space. Is that what you're saying?
Complexion, color, like there's so much textures, different. There's so many things that I want to touch. It's crazy.
Tell me about your OG first product, Rosewater. Is that still around?
We have relaunched it a couple of times. Like we'll create a run and then it sells out. That was the thing that people like when I say like when people said back to me, that was the first thing that they said it about, which was like, oh my God, this lipstick feels so good. Oh my God, this lipstick is making my lips better. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, the color of this lipstick is so flattering. And mm-hmm. I was like.
And universally flattering. Before people were talking about inclusion in beauty and universally flattering shades.
No, not at all. I know. It was the era when still, like someone with our complexion, mm-hmm. if you went to go try to find a nude lipstick, remember?
Yeah.
Devastating.
Yeah.
Like so unattractive.
There was like one nude, or it was like pasty. It wouldn't look good on dark skin.
It would look not good.
Right.
Like, which is like the worst thing that your makeup can do for you is make you look worse.
Yep. Yes. 100%. Well, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, those of us who have followed Kosas since its inception, Sheena had a color called Rosewater as one of her original lipsticks. And it was, when it comes back, is like the perfect like pinky nude, right? Is that how you'd explain it?
Yeah, it's a shade of pink. It's like a muted pink. It's a very human looking pink. Huh. Like if your body created the perfect pink, it would be like this. So when you see it, it doesn't look like clear, crystal clear pink. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't look beige either. Mm-hmm. It looks like visceral. Mm-hmm. It looks alive.
That's really good word. Alive. It almost had this, it has this ethereal quality
yeah.
to it, where I could see what, how it really, really, really took off. So I'll be waiting for its re-release.
Oh, I'm sure I have some in the archives
I
for
might
you.
Have my original tube. Is that healthy?
That I have the same tube since 2016?
Not
should
great.
Should I keep using it?
What's the health factor on that?
Smell it. It doesn't have water in it, so like that, it has that going for it, but that's a long time.
Maybe disinfect.
Maybe.
Okay. I have some rapid-fire questions for you.
Okay.
Candles or incense?
Candles.
Botox or bangs?
Botox.
What?
You're like offended what? That's by easy.
Cardio or weights?
Weights.
Your scent, is it musky woody or bright and floral?
Musky woody sweet.
Oh, like a vanilla?
Like a sandalwood vanilla. Like it's a little earthy, it's a little sweet, it's a little woody.
Coffee or matcha?
Coffee.
Coffee or Diet Coke?
Ooh, coffee.
Early bird or night owl?
Oh my God, I'm like those annoying people who's neither, so I get the benefit of neither one, but probably night owl.
Okay. What's a familiar scent that immediately calms or comforts you?
Sandalwood.
What's something you're doing, taking, practicing, watching, listening to right now that gets your endorphins going?
Pilates.
What are your three tips for living well?
Know yourself, like go on an extreme deep exploration in like every part and crevice of yourself internally. That is my favorite thing to do. Mm. Get into contact and touch with your soul, which I think is so critical because there's some really fun things in there. Like life isn't meant to be like totally perfect and optimized all the time. There's some things that the soul likes, like lighting your lashes on fire is like kind of part of that. I endorse.
Purpose, yes. the circumstances surrounding the lashes on fire were me following my soul. Yes.
There you go. See?
Yes.
And you know what? You have to do that kind of thing sometimes, like have the Diet Coke. And, the sun.
I totally agree.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love the sun. Heat, warmth, sunlight, the beach.
Necessary.
Nature. Yeah.
Necessary. Well, thank goodness I've got Soul Gazer to now fix my singed lashes and all of your amazing tips for living well. Where can people find you for obviously all things Kosas, but all your, you know, great tips and you know, regimen in the wellness space and beauty space, where can they find you?
You can find me on TikTok. I'm Sheena Zadeh on TikTok. I am part of the over 40 TikTokers crowd. I live for it. And then I'm Sheena on Instagram.
Oh, just first name only.
Yeah. I don't know how I got super lucky with that.
Yeah. That is a real flex, by the way. Like if I was just at Melissa, that would be like the people who have at...
Sarah. To be fair, that's harder. Sheena's a little bit, but still.
You did it.
It was a moment in time. It was a gift from the universe at a time that I really needed it.
Congrats on that.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. This was so fun.
Thanks so much for joining us for another episode of Livin' Well, and we'll see you next time. Livin' Well is hosted by me, Melissa Magsaysay. Our senior producers are Jordan Patterson and Hannah Matner. Our associate producer is Sarah Kitnick. Our video director is Julia McCabe. Our director of post-production is Patrick Stewart. Our senior sound recording engineer is Nick Norton. And motion graphics by Dougal Henkin. Our video editor is Hannah Matner. Ben Church is our senior coordinating producer. And Anne-Marie Hauser is our production manager. Our podcast marketing and social media manager is Bella Martinez. Our general counsel at LA Times is Jeff Glasser. Special thanks to President and Chief Operating Officer of the Los Angeles Times, Chris Argentieri, and Executive Editor of the Los Angeles Times, Terry Tang. Livin' Well is created by LA Times Studios President Anna Magzanian and executive produced by Darius Derekshan and Flora McCarrie.